So good morning. I'm Hannah Baker, a servant leader here at the Vineyard. And for those of you who don't know me yet, it's a privilege to be with you all today. I had the honor to preach this past August on the woman at the well. And today I will be continuing in our Advent series called The Gift for Us All. Becca kicked off our series 2 weeks ago on the gift for the spiritual zeros, and John spoke last week on the gift for the poor and hungry. I will be speaking on the gift for the grief-stricken. And they both did a great job, and if you missed their messages, you can watch it on our website or on YouTube. Many Advent series are focused on hope, peace, joy, love. Most stories of Jesus' birth are filled with glad tidings of great joy. But in Matthew chapter 2, there is a dark episode. It is often called the slaughter of the innocents because King Herod, the evil villain in our story for today, has all the baby boys 2 years old and under murdered in Bethlehem and its surrounding area just to ensure that baby Jesus would be killed. Christmas doesn't mean the end of darkness, sadness, loneliness, grief, sorrow, loss, and pain. In fact, Christmas sometimes stirs those things up even more. Jesus comes into a dark world and there's immediate violence. A Christmas war going on between good and evil. You might be finding yourself in a battle this Christmas. You want to be happy, hopeful, joyful, peaceful, and jolly. Ho, ho, ho. But if you're honest with yourself, you might be in a season of grieving. Grieving the loss of a loved one. Grieving conflict in a family. Grieving estranged friendships and relationships. Grieving the loss of a job. A longing unfulfilled, the loss of a dream, the loss of hope. It may not be you, but it may be someone close to you that is experiencing so much loss and pain this Christmas. We will see through Jesus how he helps us when we're lost in our grief, how he helps us find comfort in Emmanuel, which we sang about, and how he helps us be filled with his hope for the grief-stricken. In this Advent series, we are looking at the Beatitudes found in Matthew chapter 5. And I will be focusing on verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus longs to draw close to each one of us today, but especially those that find themselves in a season of grieving, and fill us with his hope and comfort this Christmas season and into the new year. To be honest with you, I am finding myself in a season of grieving. Grieving my grandmother's aging body who has pain all over and will probably pass soon. I'm grieving my dad's poor health as he had to have another heart procedure in November. I'm grieving not being able to comfort my son when he had constant belly aches and headaches for 3 to 4 weeks in November. I'm grieving a dear friend who is sick in the hospital right now, and I just want to make her well and get her out home to her babies for Christmas. And lastly, I'm grieving a longing unfulfilled, a loss of a dream that was very near and dear to my heart. In all of this grief, I am trusting and relying on the Lord to comfort me. And I'm trusting that Jesus will bring his comfort and his hope to you through this message of hope for the grief-stricken. And with that, we've already been praying, but I'm going to invite more of the Holy Spirit to come. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to quiet our hearts. So Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Holy Spirit, we need you. Would you quiet our hearts and our minds from any busyness, from any list of things that need to be done today, tomorrow, the next? Jesus, would you quiet our hearts so that we can ask ourselves, how am I doing?
Jesus, maybe it's been a long time since we asked ourselves, how am I doing? Could we do that today? And Lord, would you come right now and would you sit alongside every single one of us? Not only sitting here, but watching online. Holy Spirit, come. Hold our hands and would your presence come and wrap around us. Fill us with your comfort and your hope right now. Amen. Our text today comes from Matthew 2, 13 through 18, and it can be found on page 658. And if you want to follow along with me, the Bibles are right in front of you, the orange Bibles. And that's 658, Matthew 2, 13 through 18. And Becca preached 2 weeks ago, and our story picks up after her story. So the Magi, the wise men, just visited baby Jesus. Now they just left baby Jesus, and our story picks up for today. The escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the baby boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. We see in our text for today, King Herod caused many people to be lost in their grief. And that's our first point, is lost in our grief, and what do we do? Many Christmas movies have a villain, and we can see in the picture the Grinch, Ebenezer Scrooge, Harry and Marv, Mr. Potter, Jack Frost, and the Abominable Snowman. Herod is the evil villain in our story for today, but it's not fictional. Herod was known for his acts of violence, like the brutal massacre described in our scripture for today. He had people killed that felt like competition to his throne. He had his wife killed, her mother killed, 3 of his own sons killed, 2 were innocent, 1 was supposedly guilty. It was said of Herod, it's better to be one of his pigs than his own sons. Herod, when he knew he was dying, he ordered that his nobles be executed at his death in order to ensure that mourning would happen and that people would be grieving. In Matthew 2, 1 through 13, the scripture right before today's passage, the wise men, the Magi, go to Jerusalem looking for the new king of the Jews, and they went to King Herod, and they asked him to find baby Jesus so that they could worship him. Well, Herod interrogated the Magi, and he got all the information out of them so he could come up with a plan to kill this baby Jesus. "How dare anyone take control of my throne? I'll show them who's boss." Herod ordered that all the baby boys, 2 and under, be killed in Bethlehem and its surrounding area. And this would have been at least 20 to 30 baby boys killed in an instant. Can you imagine all the baby boys in our church, 2 years old and under, murdered? That would be my dear baby Silas, who just turned 2 on Tuesday. And it would be so many of my beloved friends who have baby boys here in this church. We would all be lost in our grief, weeping and mourning and refusing to be comforted, like it says in verse 18. Jewish people saw infanticide, the shedding of innocent blood, the murdering of babies, as a hideous and pagan act, which the Romans applied to deformed babies. Infanticide has also been used to further control oppressed populations, like when Pharaoh had all the baby boys to be killed to slow down Israel's population. And we can see this in Exodus 1:16. You might be thinking, wow, this Herod guy is an evil villain, a tyrant, which he completely was and is today. And that there is a lot of corruption that happened in the Bible times, which is also true. But this evil is still very active and present today. I am standing here in front of you alive and well because my parents chose to fight against evil. When my mom first became pregnant with me, she went to the doctor and he tried to convince my parents to have an abortion, to kill me, to end my life. All because my older brother, 3 years older than me, has Down syndrome. And that doctor was certain that I would have Down syndrome too. He even tried to convince my mom that I was just a cluster of grapes, not a living baby, so be totally fine to have an abortion. Praise God, a different doctor delivered me, but the previous guy, the old one, he came back after my delivery into the room and he told my parents that he found something really wrong with me, a birthmark on my back, which he claimed to be a birth defect. My mom looked straight at the doctor and said, "That is a mark of ownership from God." And he stormed out of the room. God grieves and mourns and cries, oh, the shedding of innocent blood. God does not approve of it, and in fact, he hates it. We can see this in the Bible in Proverbs 6:16-19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. And we can see that Herod was all of these things. God hates sin. God hates the effects that sin has on his children because it only hurts us. God is not soft on sin, and there is consequences for our sin. But, God loves sinners. God loves his children. God loves you. God loves me. For those of you who are parents, you grieve and you hate it when your child sins because it only hurts them. But you still love your child. In The Good and Beautiful God by James Brian Smith, it's a book that most of our small groups went through this last fall. And Ryan and I, my husband, led a small group on it. And if you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. But James says, being soft on sin is not loving because sin destroys. I want a God who hates anything that hurts me. Hate is a strong word, but a good one, because the true God not only hates what destroys me, sin and alienation, which is separation from God, but has also taken steps to destroy my destroyer. Amen? Amen. Amen. And we can see this in John 3:16. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So God loves us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to be born on this earth as a human baby, to live a sinless life, to experience all the pain, grief, sorrow that we experience, to die on the cross for our sins, to take the punishment for our sins that we could not pay, to give us forgiveness. And all we must do is believe in Jesus and what he did for us on the cross and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And I will give you an opportunity to do so in ministry time. So it's a free gift to receive Jesus into your life, but it costs Jesus everything. And he was willing to suffer on the cross and to die a sinner's death, to conquer Satan, death, and the power of sin. Why? Because that's how much he loves you, and he loves me. King Herod didn't like the sound of a new king coming to town, so he took control and tried to kill baby Jesus. If we're honest with ourselves, there may be a sliver of us or a big chunk of us that wants full control. We want to be our own master. We want to be our own king or queen. We don't want anyone to challenge us or tell us areas of our life that we may need healing or growth or help. We don't want anyone to tell us what to do or not to do, what to believe or what to think, how to spend our time, our talents, our treasures, which is our money. There may be parts of us that want full control, just like King Herod. But Jesus wants to meet us in the middle of the tension, the middle of the war, the middle of the battle, the middle of the fight, and fill us with his peace so that we can fully trust him in all areas of our life. Trust him when we are lost in our grief. Find comfort in him. And this brings us to our second point, that we can find comfort in Emmanuel, God with us. We see through the Christmas story Jesus coming to earth as an innocent, vulnerable baby. God sent us his best gift ever. God sent Jesus because we are lost in the grief of our sins, our pain and sorrow. Jesus is not a far-off God who's aloof, who doesn't care what we are going through. No, Jesus is the opposite. He hears the cries of our mourning and grieving, and like a mother, he comes running to comfort us and wrap his loving arms around us. In Matthew 5:4, it says, God blesses those who mourn because they will be comforted. Emmanuel, Jesus, rushes through time and space to not just be near our hurt, but becomes human to sit with us in our hurt. Emmanuel is a name given to Jesus, which means God with us. And we can see this in Matthew 1:23, and I'm going to use the Passion Translation. It says, listen, a virgin will be pregnant, and she will give birth to a son, and he will be known as Emmanuel, which in Hebrews means God became one of us. God became one of us. Jesus longs to make himself real and tangible to every single one of us and come alongside us and sit with us in our grieving and to bring his comfort as only he can do best. In our story for today, we see that God was with Joseph and Mary, and he provided them with clear directions to follow to protect baby Jesus. In verses 13 and 14, the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he told him exactly what to do. And Joseph listened and obeyed immediately. He woke up Mary and baby Jesus. He packed them up and hit the road. And that's pure obedience. For those of you who are parents, I don't know about you, but do you want to wake up in the middle of the night, wake up your sleeping kids in the middle of the night, and a pack of bags? And not just an overnight bag, this is all your belongings, and head to a foreign place. Not me. I like my sleep, and I don't ever want to wake a sleeping baby. I have six of them at home, and you can tell them, don't wake up the baby. Don't do it. Many times, God asks us to do things we don't necessarily want to do. It's out of our comfort zone. It stretches us, but it's for our protection, our healing, our growth, and freedom. Like when we are lost in our grief, he may encourage us to get outside help by going to a trusted friend and be brutally honest with how bad we are doing. Or seek a professional counselor, a spiritual director, a mentor, a coach, or all of the above. There was a time 4 years ago that I was at rock bottom in my grief, pain, and loss. We had just moved back to Tomahawk, Wisconsin, after living and pastoring in Stanley, Wisconsin, for 4.5 years, because God asked us to surrender it all back to him. And I don't have time this morning to tell you the full story, but we just had our 5th son. We moved in with my parents. Can you imagine that? We laid down our jobs, our dreams, and all the people that we had poured and invested into. To be honest, I felt like a complete failure, like I missed the mark, and I thought that I could never recover from the grief and loss. I couldn't go out in public without crying. It didn't matter what people said to me. Good to have you back in town. Why did you move back to town? I didn't want to leave the house. I didn't trust myself. I hadn't experienced depression like this before, and now I was just swimming in it, overwhelmed by my sadness. But God met me in the middle of my grieving. I allowed Jesus to sit with me in my deepest, darkest pain. He poured out his love, his comfort, his compassion, his hope, his grace, and truth, and began healing me from the inside out. This healing journey with Jesus was not a quick fix, as it took over 2 years of weekly counseling, monthly spiritual direction, mentoring, and meeting with a trusted friend. When I first moved back to Tomahawk, I met with a dear, faithful friend, and I told her where I was at. I said, I am at rock bottom. I don't even have enough energy to keep being a good friend to you in this season. But I am asking that you would keep being a good friend to me, that you would cheer me on, that you would pour out God's truth over me, that you would pray for me, that you would encourage me, that you would hold me up when I feel like dying. And that's exactly what she did. And I am forever grateful for her, and that I was honest with her with how bad I was doing. And that God could use her to help comfort me, that God could use my spiritual director, my counselor, and others to get me out of that pit. Jesus longs to have this type of friendship with every one of us sitting here, but those of us online. He desires for us to be completely honest with him and tell him everything that is heavy on our heart. You can say, God, I feel like I'm falling apart. I don't even know how to be a good friend to you, but I need you to be a good friend to me. I need you to comfort me right now and bring your hope in the middle of this hopelessness that I'm going through. And he will do it. He will be faithful. And as I'm speaking to you, God may be highlighting to you a friend that he wants you to invite into your pain. And, or, he may be highlighting someone to you that is going through a season of grieving right now, and he is asking you to come alongside them and to speak God's hope into them. Back to our story. Imagine Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus having to pack up and leave everything immediately. Leave their home, their family, their friends, their jobs, and run, for your child's life is at stake, and flee to Egypt. Think of the sudden shock, fear, loss, grief that they may have been experiencing. But they were trusting and relying and obeying God to protect them, to provide for them and to comfort them in it all. God sent them to Egypt for their protection and to fulfill the prophecy of Hosea 11:1. Out of Egypt, I called my son. The Israelites are also called God's son. And they went to Egypt for protection. The story of the Israelites in the Old Testament. God says, obey me and I will bless you. And they don't. God saves them over and over and over again. Obey me and I will bless you. And they don't listen. Jesus, our saving hope, goes to Egypt for protection. God calls them out of Egypt, but this time his perfect son, his one and only son, listens and he is blessed. And at the end of Jesus' life on earth as a human, he took the curse of our disobedience on the cross. And in Matthew 2:19-23, the text right after our story for today, we see that God was with Joseph and he appeared in another dream and he told him to pack up his family, leave Egypt and return to Israel because Herod was now dead. They listened and they were obedient to the Lord's call on their lives. Not only were they protecting their baby boy, they were preserving the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the best gift ever, hope for all mankind. Just as God didn't leave Joseph and Mary and Jesus in Egypt, God doesn't leave us stuck in our pain and grief. God longs to enter into our loss and sit with us in our deepest pain, but we have to give him permission to come in. We need to invite him in, ask him to come and comfort us and surrender our control to fix ourselves. We see this in Isaiah 49:13. It says, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. Some of us may struggle with the fact that God grieves over his children, just like a good parent mourns when a child is sad and in pain. But we can see in John 11:35, it says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. The shortest, but a very powerful verse in the Bible. Jesus wept over his good friend Lazarus who died. Jesus wept with Mary and Martha. And Jesus weeps over you and me as we're grieving and in pain. And his tears can be our healing over us. And that brings us to our third point, that we can find hope in Jesus. Verse 17 and 18 says, Bethlehem's mourning, a temporary sorrow, out of which God will bring comfort, hope, and deliverance. Through Bethlehem's Messiah, the Savior of the world, God's working through disaster to blessing, from death to life. And we can see this also in Isaiah 61:2-3. Jesus says, I will comfort all who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And if you're going through a season of grief right now, you can cling to these verses as future hope of what God can bring you to and what he longs to bring you into. And there are so many things that can break our hearts and cause us to grieve and mourn. But as we seek God's kingdom, enter into his kingdom, learn to live in his kingdom, we will find comfort and our tears can turn to laughter. Yes, we can be even better than we were before the disaster happened. So how can we receive God's hope when we're grieving? We can see this in Lamentations 3, 19 through 27. And these are some of my favorite verses in here of hope. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope. I cling to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Each morning, I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. I will put my hope in Jesus. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for the salvation from the Lord. And we can see in those verses how valuable it is to read his word daily, that it says his mercies begin afresh each morning to sit with the Lord and spend time with Jesus, starting our day like that. We can pray scripture over ourselves, scripture of hope and comfort that bring life. We can put scriptures of hope and comfort around where you see it daily, at your locker, at school, at your desk, at work, in your car, where you're driving, at the fridge, on your fridge, in the mirror, wherever you look at multiple times a day, put scriptures of hope and comfort that will speak God's truth over your life, and you will begin believing it, even if you don't right now. We can pray, talk, and cry out to Jesus. Have a conversation with him. You can write a letter to God. Tell him everything that is on your heart. Whatever you're angry about, mad about, sad about, write that letter to God. Give it to him and let him do an exchange and let him bring his comfort and his hope into you as you give him that letter. You can journal out your prayers, something I've been doing since I was a little girl, and it's brought so much life to me. You can sit in silence, in solitude, and wait for God to come and comfort you. You can play worship music to comfort you and bring hope. It never fails. When I am overwhelmed for whatever the reason, I put on worship music in my home, and all of a sudden the peace of Jesus comes into me, comes into my crazy kids, comes into our home, and we are filled with peace. You can get out into nature and take a walk. Let God comfort you through his creation. Like I said earlier, when I was at rock bottom, you can meet with a trusted friend and be honest with where you're at. You could meet with a counselor, a spiritual director, a mentor, a coach. The main thing here with this list is to give yourself permission to grieve, space to mourn, time to process and heal. It's not ABC, I do all these things and now I'm better. It's like, no, sit with Jesus and let him do a healing work in you. And it may take some time. Our culture is so hurried that we don't give ourselves space and time to grieve. But God is not in a hurry at all, and he has all the time in the world to sit with us in our deepest pain and to bring his comfort, his hope, and his truth over our life. Not only does God want us to receive his hope, but God wants us to give his hope away. And we can see this in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. It says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from the Lord." And as we see in those scriptures, we first need to receive comfort from the Lord so we can give it away. We first need to sit with Jesus in the morning and receive his hope so that we can give hope away. We can't give away to others what we haven't first received from the Lord ourselves. Who might God be highlighting to you that is going through a difficult season? A lonely elderly neighbor? A grieving coworker? A hurting classmate? A sad friend? Or possibly an estranged family member? How might God be inviting you to bring his hope to them this week? What would it look like to give the gift of your time to those who are grieving in your life? Some possible ideas is you could write them a letter. You could call them. You could FaceTime them. If they live close to you, you could drop by, bring them a plate of cookies and just sit with them. Grab a meal together. Go get coffee together. If they're in the hospital or nursing home, go and visit them. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as you take the time to care for them. Tell them that you're sorry for what they're going through. Listen to them and really listen. Sit with them in their pain and, God willing, pray for them and bring God's hope to their hopelessness. During this Advent series, each week, we've had a gift for you out on the tree, an ornament, and then we've had a gift under the tree for you to take and give away. And today is the same thing. We have ornaments on the tree for you to take with a reflection of what I spoke on today. And then we have gifts under the tree, these beautiful brown boxes of invites to our Christmas Eve service, for you to invite somebody in your life who is going through grieving, who's going through hard times, is feeling hopeless. Invite them to come with you, to sit with you at Christmas Eve so that God may come and bring his hope, bring his comfort, bring his healing to them this Christmas. So don't leave today without receiving your gift from the tree and grabbing a gift under the tree to give to somebody else. We each have a choice whether we are going to reject Jesus or receive Jesus. Receive him as Lord and King of all areas of our life and heart, or reject his full rule and reign. Receive his comfort, his guidance, and hope when we feel lost in our grief, or reject and refuse to be comforted when we are mourning and become bitter and angry against God and against other people. And with this, we're going to move into a time of ministry. And here at the Vineyard, we believe that Jesus is alive and active and present, not only on the throne in heaven, but that he's alive and active and present here. Not only do we believe that God heals today, we see God heal week in and week out through the power of prayer and through the power of inviting the Holy Spirit and Jesus to come to meet us. And so if this is your first time hearing about how much Jesus loves you, that he died on the cross to set you free from your sins, or maybe you've heard about Jesus before, but you haven't yet fully surrendered. You haven't yet fully received Jesus into all areas of your life. Or maybe you did receive Jesus long ago, but you took control back and you walked away from that relationship. And Jesus is here today and he longs to enter into a friendship with every single one of us sitting here and those listening online. He longs to have this deep, intimate friendship with us. And if that's you, If you long to draw close to Jesus and enter into that friendship, there is a prayer up on the screen, and then I am going to pray it as well. I'm going to pray it slowly on purpose so that you can pray after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. And we're going to take a moment now to ask for forgiveness for anything particular that is on your mind. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything I know that is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me, so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you rose again to conquer death, Satan, and the power of sin. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. And if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you just re-surrendered your life to Jesus and you just entered into that friendship with Jesus, we would love to know, because we would love to give you a gift and we'd love to bless you. And so if that's you today, or if that's you online, you can just chat in the thing and somebody will respond back to you so we can connect with you. But if that's you sitting here and you just prayed that prayer, would you be willing to raise your hand or stand, and we will have people come around and give you a gift right now. So if you would be willing to just raise your hand or stand, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus. And like I said, if you're online, please chat in the thing so that we can connect with you, that we can disciple you, and we can follow up with your relationship with Jesus. And for those of you that prayed that prayer and you didn't raise your hand, that's okay. We still have a gift for you that's in the basket. So as you're leaving out the door, you can grab that gift just for you. The second area that I feel like the Lord wants to minister is I feel like God wants to empower us with his heart for the lost. God wants to empower us with more of his heart, like his heart breaks for those who are grieving. His heart mourns for those who are grieving. And I feel like God is here today and he wants to empower us with his heart for those who are hopeless. The world is hopeless. The world needs a savior. It needs Jesus. And we have Jesus to bring to them. So if you want to be empowered by Jesus today with his heart for the hopeless, his heart for those that are grieving, would you stand with me? I'm standing. I want more of God's heart for the hopeless. Thank you for standing with me. Thank you for standing with me. Who wants to be empowered with God's heart for the hopeless? God's heart for those that are grieving. So Jesus, come. And if you want to put out your hands to receive a gift from the Lord right now, to receive empowerment from Jesus, to go to the hopeless world and bring his hope, that's what we're doing. So Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come right now and fall. Fall fresh and fall new. Holy Spirit, come and empower every single one of your sons and daughters here today and those watching online. Would you empower us with your heart for the lost? Would you break our hearts for what breaks yours? Would you fill us with hope for the hopeless?
Would you fill us, Lord Jesus, with comfort? Would you give us your words to say to those who are grieving? We can't do it without you. We need to partner with you, Holy Spirit. So come, Jesus, right now, and empower us with your gift. Empower us with boldness. Empower us with strength. And I just ask also right now, as you are empowering us, would you highlight right now, show us at least one person in our mind that is going through a season of grief, and you're calling us to come alongside them. Show us that picture. Show us who they are. Maybe it's more than one picture. And Lord, I just ask right now that you'd remove the obstacles, remove the barriers, remove the excuses that we make, that we say that we can't go to that person. Remove it and equip us right now. Equip us. Equip us. You can keep receiving. I'm going to go into our third area. If you feel like you're feeling lost in your grief, you find yourself in a season of grieving, like I talked about today. You find yourself in a season of hopelessness. God is here to meet with you right where you're at. All you have to do is invite him in. He's already here. He's already present. But he wants to sit with you in your pain. There's three different things you can do to respond to that if you're going through a season of grieving, or if you find yourself just mourning this morning. If you don't have enough strength to stand, you can just sit, and God's going to meet you right in your chair. If you want to stand, if you're not standing already, you can stand. And lastly, I would love for you to come forward to receive prayer. If you're going through a season of grieving, if you're feeling hopeless this morning, please do not leave today without receiving prayer, without receiving Jesus coming alongside you and speaking his hope into your hopelessness. You can receive prayer up front. You can ask somebody around you. You can ask somebody in the foyer saying, I need prayer. She told me I can't leave today without receiving prayer. So please do not leave today without receiving prayer. And if that's you online, please chat in the comments and we will pray for you online. And so now I'm just going to pray over all of us, those of us who are going through a season of grieving. So Jesus, would you come? And just like you said in the text, Jesus wept. Jesus, would you come right now and cry over your sons and daughters that are going through a hard, difficult season of grieving? Lord, would your tears come and wash over us and bring us comfort and bring us hope? Jesus, would you come right now and wrap your loving arms around every single one of us, but especially those who are grief-stricken? Would we feel your presence come and wrap around us right now? Jesus, would you show us that you are never going to leave us? You are never going to forsake us. Let us feel your hand grab a hold of ours and saying, we're going to do this together. You are not alone. And Jesus, would you come right now and breathe hope? Hope of what the next step can be in our healing journey. Grab a hold of our hand, and would you even highlight a friend that we can invite into our pain? Jesus, come. Papa, come. Wrap your loving arms around every single one of us. Let us feel your comfort today. Let us feel your love all surrounding us. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen for now.
And with any of those things, I'm going to invite the prayer team forward. I'm going to invite you forward. If you're going through that season of grieving, if you want to be empowered more with a heart for the lost, or if you just received Jesus into your heart, please come forward, receive prayer, and we're going to move into some more worship, and then we're going to take communion together.